Denodo Data Bytes. Hi everyone, this is Neha Pulvar, your podcast host, bringing you a brand new episode of Denodo Data Bytes. We are thrilled to speak with all of you today about modern data architectures and cloud adoption, but more specifically about whether monolithic or logical architectures are your best choice. Leading this conversation would be our guest on the show, Albert Dupin, who is the Executive Vice President and Chief Technical Officer here at Denodo. Now, before we deep dive into the topic, let me tell you a little bit about Alberto and his journey in the tech industry. As I previously mentioned, Alberto is the Executive VP and CTO at Denodo. He has led product development tasks for all versions of the Denodo platform. Additionally, he is also an academic at heart and has authored more than 25 scientific papers in areas ranging from data virtualization, data integration, to web automation. Alberto, great to have you on the show. We are looking forward to listening to you about your experience in the tech space. Also, it would be great if you could tell us about your journey within Denodo and how it has evolved over the years.
Yeah. Hello, Nika. Thanks for having me and thanks everyone for listening. Well, my role in Denodo has not changed much during these years. I have always been in charge of the general product direction, including the roadmap, product management, and also overseeing the development and QA teams here at Denodo. What has changed a lot is, of course, the company. When we started Denodo, the company was very small. Almost all the team was in the same location. We usually had lunch together almost every day. And now, well, we are a much bigger company with very large teams distributed across the globe. And that is, of course, a very different experience and has been challenging at times. But overall, I think it has been a very fun journey. It has been very exciting to see the company grow and to see how our vision for data integration and data management has been progressively adapted by hundreds of companies across the world.
That sounds great. Thanks for sharing. I think along with the growth the company has achieved over the past few years, the industry itself has also evolved immensely in terms of data management practices. To discuss further, let's talk about today's topic. My first question to you is, could you give us a brief introduction about modern data architectures?
Yes, of course. Well, I think in all big organizations today, decisions need to be supported by data. And for this to be a reality, we need what is sometimes called data democratization, meaning that data should be available to all decision makers at all levels of the organization, not only for top executives as in the past. And it also means that the data available to these decision makers should cover all the business functions, not only specific functions like finance, for instance, as in the past. And to achieve this, we need two things. First, we need to provide data to the decision makers expressed in the language of the business in formats that they can understand and they can effectively use and analyze themselves. And second, the data that we provide to them needs to be consistent, meaning that when delivering data to different users and for different purposes, we should have consistent semantics of the data, and we should consistently enforce security and governance policies for all data consumers and all data sources. So this sounds like very reasonable and even modest goals, right? It seems that okay, we are not asking for the moon here, but the reality is that big organizations today are far from achieving that goal. Why? What are the problems? Well, I would say that the main problem preventing this to happen is that data is distributed in multiple silos, which are used for different purposes and are managed independently. And therefore, they use different technologies, different semantic conventions, different governance and security mechanisms, different data quality policies, and so on. So this makes very hard to provide the two goals that I mentioned. It's really difficult to offer consistent semantics, security, and governance across all these silos. And it's also very hard and slow to provide data to the business users in the form they need, because basically each new data need becomes a complex data integration project, integrating data from multiple systems. And that is the problem that modern data analytics architectures are trying to solve.
Right. So what are some typical approaches that companies are taking to overcome these data management challenges, according to you?
I would say there are two main ways of addressing this problem, like two types of architectures that companies are trying to build to address this. The first type is what we call monolithic architectures, and the second is what we call a logical architecture. So let me start first with monolithic architectures. At a high level, the idea is quite simple. It's a centralized architecture where all the relevant data for analytics is first copied to a single central system, and then it's physically transformed and prepared there in multiple ways for creating data products for the different needs of each use case. And the classic example of this type of architecture is the data warehouse, which exists from the 90s. But more modern architectures like the data lake and more recently the data lakehouse basically follow the same ideas, with the difference that they are adapted to the technology stack that we use today. And easy to understand why people find this idea compelling, right? Because if you have all data in the same place, then you don't have silos, and you can achieve consistent semantics, security, and governance more easily. But history shows that this ideal of having all data in the same place has been something extremely difficult to achieve in big companies. And about logical architectures, well, logical architectures use a different approach. In this approach, the data management architecture allows data to be located in multiple distributed data processing engines, which may be specialized at different tasks. But on top of those systems, we have a common infrastructure, which in most cases is implemented using data virtualization technology, which provides unified semantics, security, and governance. So logical architectures allow you to achieve this consistency goal without needing to first consolidate all data in a single system. And typical examples of this type of architecture are the logical data warehouse, which has been proposed by Gartner, or the data fabric, which has been proposed by both Gartner and Forrester, something that does not happen very often. And I also think that many of the data mesh concepts proposed recently by the consultant Zamak Dejani are also strongly connected with these ideas of logical and distributed architecture. The logical approach was also difficult to implement in the past because of technical limitations, but today we have tools like modern data virtualization technology, which are able to connect to any data source, to expose data to consumers using multiple technologies like SQL, REST, NDX, OData, or GraphQL, for instance, and all that with great performance thanks to the fast networks of today and to the use of new advanced pushdown optimization techniques, the use of massive parallel processing, and also sophisticated caching and query acceleration techniques, which, for instance, in the case of the Nodo, can even use artificial intelligence to learn from the past activity in the system.
Great. Thanks for a detailed overview on modern data architectures. As opposed to a centralized approach towards data management with monolithic data, due to the advancements happening over the years, a logical data architecture helps us assimilate data from various data silos as well as manage and access data much more easily. Is that correct?
Yes. I would say that the main differences between the two architectures, well, are probably the first difference is that in monolithic architectures, to create new data product, you always need to copy all the required data into this central system and then physically transform and combine the data in different ways every time that you need to create a new data product for a different purpose. And yes, this is typically not agile at all. And in turn, with logical architectures, you can first reuse the systems that you already have when they are valid for a certain data product. And even if you decide to ingest the data in a new system for certain data products, when you need to expose the data in different forms, you can do it without physically replicating data every time. So the process of creating and maintaining data products is typically much more agile, much faster. For instance, Forrester has estimated that you can accelerate the time to create new data products more than 80% when using these logical architectures based on data virtualization. A second difference, which is also very important, is that by definition, with monolithic architectures, you need to solve all your analytic needs with the same system, this big central system which supposedly contains all your data. And in turn, with logical architectures, also by definition, you can have different processing engines optimized for different types of analytic needs. So you can, for instance, use one system for your data science needs, another for your traditional business intelligence needs, and yet another for your operational intelligence needs, for instance, while still guaranteeing unified data access and unified security and governance. And a third difference that I want to mention, which is also very important for modern analytics architectures, is that with logical architectures, data consumers access data through a semantic layer, which expresses the data in the language of the business and decouples data consumers from where data is located and also from the particular systems where data is stored at a given moment. And that is useful not only because it simplifies data access, but also because if you decide to move part of your data or part of your workloads to a different system or to the cloud, maybe because it's better or because it's cheaper, you can do it without affecting your data consumers. For instance, you will not have to change the reports that you have already created using that data. In turn, with monolithic architectures, your data consumers and your reports depend on that particular big central system. And if you want to move data out of there, you need also to change all those reports and consuming applications. So I would say those are the main three differences or benefits that logical architectures can bring to modern data architectures.
Thanks, Alberto. But if you had to choose, which one is better suitable for cloud adoption according to you?
Well, I think logical architectures are probably a better choice for several reasons. First, during the cloud migration stage, when you are moving systems to the cloud, they can help you to move data and workloads to the cloud, minimizing the impact on your data consumers. And this is because of the semantic layer that I mentioned before, because your consumers can continue to access the data using the abstraction provided by that semantic layer. So they don't need to know where data resides physically. So even if where data is located changes, your reports, your consuming applications, and so on will not need to change. And that's very, very important in the cloud migration stage. After that stage, most companies will probably have a hybrid architecture with some systems in the cloud and some systems on premises, and that will probably last for many years. And very probably they will also end having a multi-cloud architecture where they will have data systems distributed at different cloud providers and they need to integrate data across them. And in this type of scenario, the capabilities of logical architectures for allowing distributed data integration while still maintaining unified semantic security and governance across all the clouds are very useful. And third, logical architectures can also help a lot with decreasing your overall cost in the cloud and for several reasons. So for instance, they can drastically decrease your cloud egress cost by minimizing the data traffic between different locations. By using a query acceleration functionalities that are typically available in platforms like Denodo, they can also decrease your computation cost in the cloud when processing data. So taking all those things together, I think that in the context of cloud adoption, logical architectures offer a significant benefit.
Perfect. That explains it very well. We can see the various benefits that a logical data architecture brings to the equation. So to understand logical data architectures a bit more, could you share a case study where logical architecture has enabled effective cloud adoption for the user?
Yes, of course. There are many. For instance, there is a great report from Forrester released 3 or 4 months ago, which is available at the Denodo website, which explains with a lot of detail the journey with logical architectures of several Denodo customers in several industries, such as finance, logistics, or healthcare, and where they explain how they use Denodo for different things and also in the context of cloud adoption. For instance, they explain how they use Denodo to migrate their data warehouses to the cloud without affecting the consumers, and also how they are using Denodo to integrate their systems in the cloud with their on-premises systems, and also how they are using Denodo and logical architectures to accelerate their time to business, that is, how fast they are able to create new data products and expose them to the business. So I think that's a very nice read that will provide, I think, a very good overview for the people interested on learning more about the benefits of logical architectures. Another very interesting use case is the one of BHP, one of the biggest mining companies in the world. This is a highly distributed organization. They have big data centers across the world, in Australia, North America, South America, and also in the cloud, in AWS. And they use Denodo to create a data fabric which provide unified data access and consistent security and governance across all these locations. They presented their use case in one of our recent DataFest conferences, and their session is available to be watched online from the Tenodo DataFest website. And again, I think that's a very interesting watch for everyone interested in learning more about data fabric and logical architectures.
Thanks, Alberto, for taking the time to talk to us about modern data architectures and cloud adoption today. I'm sure our listeners would have enjoyed listening to our discussion. So before we conclude, we have a quick Q&A round in store for you. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Okay. So what is your favorite thing to do on the weekends?
Well, I like reading a lot. I read all types of things, fiction, non-fiction. I find it very relaxing. And for instance, in fiction, I have been reading several books lately from David Mitchell, who is a British author who combines history, humor, fantasy in very interesting ways and with very good characters, and I highly recommend all his books. And in non-fiction, I have been reading lately a book called Capitalism Without Capital, which is an economy book from Jonathan Haskell and Steve Wozniak, which explores the consequences for the economy of a world where the most valuable assets are intangible. So now the companies in the most developed areas of the world invest much more in tangible things like software, branding, and of course data, than in tangible assets like buildings or machinery, for instance, right? So this has a lot of impact on many aspects of society, from inequality to productivity. And I think this book does a very good job explaining and studying this trend. So that's another one that I would recommend.
Very interesting suggestions there. I would love to explore these titles, and I'm sure our readers would too. So moving on to our next question, if you were to write a book, what would it be about?
Well, probably it would not be about data management. I think I already write enough about that. One topic that has always interested me is how technology changes the way society is organized. So I think I would enjoy writing something about that, but in the context of a fiction novel or something like that. So, well, who knows? Maybe someday.
Wonderful. Maybe someday. We'll keep an eye out for that book from you in the future. And my last question is, what is your favorite travel destination?
Well, I live in Galicia, which is a region of Spain, which is a really, really beautiful place, but it also really, really rains a lot, right? So when I travel, I like to go to sunny destinations with very good weather, like, I don't know, the Caribbean or the Mediterranean. But of course, I also enjoy other types of destinations from time to time. London, for instance, despite the weather, is always amazing. You can never get tired of it. So that's also fine.
Perfect. This was a great session, Alberto. Thank you so much again for joining us on this episode.
Thank you, Nika. Thank you for having me, and thanks everyone for listening.
A quick message to our listeners. If you enjoyed this episode, please head over to www.denodo.com/podcast to find out more resources on all things data.